can hinder us not receiving the Holy Spirit. So hindrance to the Holy Spirit is what we are focusing. Just to give a bit of recap on what we've done so far, just few highlights. We said the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, which we are aware about. We have the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit himself. So the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. And he carries out the will of God here on earth. And the song that we just sang, I think it was part of the last one, Sister Heather, there's a song that we had sung that Jesus, God sent his son. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit lives here on earth. Amen. So it coincides with what we are sharing today. So the Holy Spirit carries out the will of God, the purpose of God. The Holy Spirit carries out the plan of God. The Holy Spirit fulfills what God has destined for each one of us here on earth. That is the work, part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Besides being our comforter, besides being our enabler, besides the Holy Spirit being our teacher, besides the Holy Spirit being the revealer of the truth, amen, he carries out the will of God for us here on earth. God the Father sits on his throne in heaven. Amen. That's where his throne is. And we know that this earth is just the footstool of God. Amen. God the Son sits on the right hand of God and is peace interceding on our behalf. Amen. Jesus is always there interceding, pleading to the Father on our behalf because he knows our weaknesses. He's been there. He's been here with us on earth. He experienced what the devil is doing. Amen. What is the devil is doing. So intercedes on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit is all over the earth, ensuring that the will of God is done to those who believe in God, to those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's look at the book of John chapter 16 verse 13, amongst the scriptures that we are going to read. John chapter 16 verse 13 to 14 or 15, somewhere there. But when he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, to these scriptures we shared previously. When he comes, he will guide us, or he will guide you into all truth. Sorry, apologies, today we don't have the slides. So bear with me, so just follow through. We don't have the slides. So John 16 verse 13, to those that don't have the Bible, if you've got a neighbor who's got a Bible, just maybe share the Bible so that you follow the word of God together. But when he comes, he will guide us into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, that is the message from the Son, and he will disclose to you what is done in the future. He will glorify and honor me, because he will take what is mine and he will disclose it to you. This is Jesus speaking. Amen. Giving us hope to say, even if I'm going, you will not be alone. My Father will send the Holy Spirit who will guide you. So the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit speaks the word of God. Amen. He received from the Father and he brings it to us. Hallelujah. So this word of God, sometimes we can express it as the Spirit of the Father. Amen. Because it teaches the truth. It reveals us to us the truth. Amen. Now, looking at today's sharing, you agree with me that God really leads us through 5 senses. We all have 5 senses. Amen. And we've got teachers here, very educated and very good teachers. They know the sight, we've got the ear, the hearing, sense, touching, taste. What else? Sorry? Smell. Well, well done. That's what I missed. So we've got those 5 senses. But to the child of God, those are 5. There's a 6th one. What's the sixth sense? The Holy Spirit himself. Amen. But if we most of the time we rely on the five, and God rarely uses or leads us into his will or guide us into his will using our senses. And that's where we are different, those that are Christians, or those of us who are Christians, to those who don't believe in God. They miss out because they don't have the sixth sense, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And unless we depend so much on the sixth sense, which is the Holy Spirit, we cannot hear God. We cannot see the goodness of God. We cannot we cannot appreciate God, because as Christians we don't walk by sight, by what we see, how we feel, what we taste. We walk by faith. That's what the Word of God says. We live by faith. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have that sense of faith to say God is there. Even if things are not working out for you, where people are seeing difficult situation for you and me, we are going to say God is in control. And I'm going to show you an example. Amen. So anybody who is very dominated by those five senses, who relies on those five senses, is unlikely to lose the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the example is coming from the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 23. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. I'm just laying a foundation, and quickly I'll dive into this. Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew, where are you? We need you. Chapter 16, verse 21 to 23. And this is the time that Jesus predicted his death, that we are sharing during the communion here. Hallelujah. Here we go. There, that's John. It's Matthew. Go to Matthew. Matthew. Chapter 16, verse from 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of his elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Amen. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus turned us and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man, or men. Amen. Peter here used, when Jesus told him about what he was to go through, to say he's going to go to Jerusalem because he has to fulfill that which he came for. And this is the main purpose that Jesus came for, to come and die for us. But when Peter heard that, in his senses, he said, no, he cannot allow Jesus to go and die, or even to go to Jerusalem. Never, he shouldn't go there. How can you do that? But it was not Peter. Jesus says it in the spirit, the sixth sense. Amen? He says in the spirit to say, this is not Peter himself, but the devil manifesting in Peter. And he rebuked him. Amen. And many times we focus on things of this world, on our senses. We depend on our senses and we miss the voice of God. We miss the will of God. If our focus is on the senses, things that we see, things that we know about, things that we feel, amen, instead of focusing on the, or depending, or opening up to the Holy Spirit, so that we'll be able to see things in the Spirit and yield to them. So God rarely uses people who depend on their five senses, on their knowledge, on their efforts, on their intelligence, and bring them to the things of faith. So when we come to the things of faith, We don't have to use our senses. We don't have to depend on our own efforts. Let's seek the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to enable us. So we need to submit to the Holy Spirit. If we don't submit to the Holy Spirit, we are hindering the work of God, the will of God in our lives. If we don't submit to the Holy Spirit, we are hindering the plan of God in our careers, in everything that we want to do. Even the work of God, we don't have to depend on our senses. Let us depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, what can hinder the Holy Spirit besides the five senses? The second one is unforgiveness. Amen. Unforgiveness. When a Christian allows the devil to have a foothold in his or her life, through unforgiveness, the eventual consequence is grieving of the Holy Spirit. All these things that you have been listening about, or we've been taught from the time we started looking at this series, lovely things, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, engrafting of our lives into God that He can use us. If we don't forgive and forget, we are hindering the Holy Spirit in our life. Our spiritual life will never grow. We cannot see those fruit of the Spirit manifesting in our lives. We need to forgive. We need to let go. Amen. All those gifts that Sister Pam mentioned to us, all those gifts, the fivefold ministries, they cannot manifest in our lives if we are not forgiving. And that's the difference between the non-believers and us, those who believe in God. For people to see, to say, indeed, we are children of God. We are not of this world. We need to forgive. Jesus forgave. He gave us an example. He said, Father, not your will. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Unless we forgive. If we don't forgive, and I'm making an emphasis on this, because it's one area that the devil, robs our blessings, because we don't forgive. Sister Pam, if you can help us to give us Ephesians chapter 4, 27, from 27 to 30. Ephesians chapter 4 from 27 to 30. The Bible says, do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger, harboring resentment, cultivating bitterness. 28. The thief who has become a thief must no longer steal, but instead he must work hard, living, producing that which is good for with his own hand, so that he will have something to share with those in need. 29. Do not let an awesome speech to come out of your mouth, but we should speak that which is according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed and marked. That's our identity. Amen, as Christians. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed and marked for the day of the redemption. That's deliverance from the consequences of sin. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, which is spitefulness, verbal abuse, etc. Amen. We have to avoid all those things. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit by not forgiving, by being resentful, by allowing offense, we cannot be used by God. All these nice things that we've heard in this, because we are almost coming to the end of it. Next week, the man of God will conclude this series. We are going to miss them. We have to make sure that we forgive. We walk in love. Amen. we allow purity in our hearts. We allow holiness. We adopt the nature of God in our hearts, in our minds. And then the Holy Spirit is going to operate in our lives. It's going to manifest in our lives. By the way, the first day we said yes to Jesus, the first day we surrendered our lives to Jesus, we received the Holy Spirit. The first day we got adopted by the Holy Spirit, because He represents God here on earth. So He comes in us to dwell in us. But because of the things of this world, the five senses that I've mentioned, unforgiveness, anger, offense, complaining, frustrations, fear, all those things, they affect the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why I remember Brother Tim when he preached about love. Amen. As one of the fruit of the Spirit, he was making emphasis to say, when we love, when we are patient, when we show kindness to people, we see the goodness of God. We have peace of God in our hearts, because the Holy Spirit is now dwelling in us. But when we are bitter, when we are offended, when we accuse people, when we blame others, amen, the Spirit of God will quietly depart from us. Because the Spirit of God is so sensitive to this, the fruit of the flesh. Very, very sensitive. It will just depart, and the grace of God will come out from us. Instead of enjoying the goodness of God, we'll start complaining. Even start complaining about our leaders, start complaining about our families, we start complaining about our bosses at work. If we are teachers, even the child, you start complaining, this child is just too rude. Start blaming them, and we can't see the potential and the goodness of God in the life of somebody because of bitterness. Amen. The other area that we need to be very watchful with is love. Amen. Where there is no love, the Holy Spirit cannot prevail. Brother Jonathan, if we don't love, the Holy Spirit cannot work in us. Hallelujah. And the word of God is coming from the word that Sister Pam shared with us, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from 28 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 to 31. So God has appointed and placed in the church first apostles, the fivefold ministries, who are chosen by Christ. Second, the prophets, and those who foretell the future, and those who speak a new message. Amen. Third, the teachers who work miracles, and those with the gifts of healing, the helpers, the administrators, and speakers in various languages of unknown. We remember this scripture very well. Amen. The fivefold ministry. And all the apostles, the prophets, all the teachers, are all workers of miracles? No. Verse 30. Do all the gifts of healing? Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? Number 31. But earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts, that is, if acquiring them is good, to be our goal. So for us to have the Holy Spirit, we need to have love and the desire for the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that appetite, that passion for the Holy Spirit, God cannot use us in one of those fivefold ministries. It will be an hindrance. We need to have that hunger, that desire, that passion. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I want you in my heart. I want to be like you. I want to be used by you. Every day, it should, when we wake up, like Pastor Keith or Brother Keith mentioned also, let's have that hunger within us. Holy Spirit, guide me. What am I going to do today? But if we don't have that desire, that passion within us, that hunger for the Holy Spirit, we cannot receive. It will be an hindrance. Amen? We need to have that love, for that yearning that strong yearning for the Holy Spirit, for Him to use us, for Him to manifest Himself, for Him to fulfill the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God in our careers, in our marriages, in everything that we do, in our businesses. We need to have that hunger for the Lord and to be used. Say, Lord, whatever that you want me to do, it's for your glory. We remind Him, it's for your glory, not for my glory, for yours. Let me be a vessel for your kingdom. Let me be a servant for your people. Once we have that attitude, the Holy Spirit will come in us. Minus that, it will be just literature that, or just talk shop that we've had in the house of God. And yet it's been a very powerful series. Amen. Number five, the other thing that we need to have is that can hinder the Holy Spirit, the lack of love for God and for other people. We should have that love for God. Amen. Love for God. And that's the command, the first commandment. And that covers everything. We should love God with all our hearts, our souls, and our spirit. And we should love our neighbors as ourselves. The same love that we have for God, we should extend it to our neighbors. We should extend it to our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Neighbor is everyone. Even those that are not saved, they are our neighbors that Jesus was talking about. Even those people who we think they are atheists. Even our leaders that we hate sometimes because they've made mistakes, they are our neighbors. We need to love them. Once we have that love, then God can use us. God cannot use us if a person doesn't have love for others. Because once you are given that gift of the Holy Spirit, it could be gift of healing. You start just healing people that you love and ignoring others. And that's not the will of God. If it's the gift of prophecy, you start just prophesying about people that you love, or for people that you love, and you forget others. But God loved, He loves everyone. He loves everyone. So when we have love and unselfish love for others, in other words, godly love, agape love, unconditional love, whether the person greets you, he doesn't greet you, whether the person has spoken evil about you or doesn't, whether the person is of a different race or not, whether the person maybe has accused you or condemned, just love. Amen. Just love for the sake of God. Say, Lord, for your sake, I have to love. Once we do that, in other words, we are humbling ourselves before Him. Say, Lord, use me that I can be a blessing to somebody. Amen. And then God is going to use us with all those gifts that we've just read. Be it being a teacher, being an administrator, being a prophet in the house of God. Even leadership at our places of work. When we have that attitude, God is going to use us. When we have love for everyone, not for ourselves. In other words, we are not self-centered. Amen. In Corinthians chapter 13, just an example. 13 from verse 1 to 3. And jump to 8. The Bible says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me, then I've become only a noise gong, a noise maker. If you speak, I speak the tongues of angels of God, the language of God, but I don't have love in my heart for God and for others. I'm just a noise maker, wasting my time. Amen. And if I have the gift of prophecy, that is to speak a new message from God to the people, or understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge and have sufficient faith so that we can move mountains from, you cast mountain from wherever it is and cast into. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. Amen. We can, if I preach the message that we are going to clap and whatever, but if I don't have love, I'm just wasting my time. That message is just coming from my mind. It's not coming from God. So love is key. We should allow love to lead in our lives. We should allow love to dominate. Love for God. And that love, I'm repeating, is unconditional love. Regardless whether you get something out of it, you just do it for the sake of God. Amen. To say, I am a tool for the Lord. Like he said, we have to be generous. When we are generous, willing to help others, then we shall see God using us with all those spiritual gifts that we have learned through in this series. Amen. Love is the key. I'm about to finish, because there are so many ways, but I can't cover everything in one sermon. Hallelujah. The other area, if you heard very well that the panel discussion that we had, which was very powerful. In fact, I have to acknowledge Sister Pam and the team. Thank you very much. That was a powerful panel discussion, and a lot of lessons I'm sure we have learned from that panel discussion. Amen. Very powerful. If you haven't listened to God, go to the podcast and just listen again. It's very powerful. There are so many lessons that we can learn from that. One of the things that they mentioned is that we need to be grounded into the Word of God. If we are not grounding ourselves in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the Spirit of God talking himself. People that wrote this Bible, they were led by the Spirit of God. They did not just write the Word of God from without. So when we are reading the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God. So for us to understand the language of God, we need to be grounded into the Word of God. If we don't read the Word of God, it's an hindrance for us to commune with the Holy Spirit. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God daily. And meditate on the Word of God. And we have to walk according to the Word of God. Ask God, Lord, help me to walk in your Word. According to your Word. To align myself to the whatever situation. God then can work in us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The other thing is, we need, like I've mentioned, meditate on the Word of God. It's key. So for the Holy Spirit to fully adopt us as Christians, we need to love, just to recap, we need to desire for the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit. We need to be aware and conscious of the Holy, wherever we are, whether we are at work, even dark place, or be it in holidays, out of the car, wherever, just be conscious of the Holy Spirit. It's going to help us, the Holy Spirit is going to help us not to sin, not to think about evil things, not to condemn, not to blame, not to be quick to judge others, because we are conscious of Him. Amen. We have to be pure in our heart. That's forgiveness comes in. We have to overlook the mistakes of others, the weaknesses of others, and it will help us not to condemn, not to judge, not to blame. Just overlook and forget and focus on God. So as children of God, we need to seek the nature of God. And the nature of God, again, is love, holiness, purity. As children of God, we need to seek the character of God. And we know the character of God. Humility, compassion, love, kindness, righteousness, faithfulness, gentleness. Amen. Self-control. We need to have those spiritual desires in our hearts as children of God. For us to walk in spirit. For us to have communion with the Holy Spirit. We need to seek spiritual attitude, to have the kingdom mind, not the mind of this world, that this is a fallen world which is led by the devil. Once we do that, if we allow the mind of this kingdom, we cannot have the communion with the Holy Spirit. So kingdom mind is key. As I conclude, let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4. And it's all about mind management. When we are alone, or when we are with friends or families, or when we are sleeping, mind management as children of God. Philippians chapter... Are you trying, Sister Pam? I know I inconvenienced you because I didn't email you the sermon. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 to 9. Are you there? The Bible says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, amen, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things as a child of God. Then the Holy Spirit can work in us. Amen. But if you are not thinking about things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are praiseworthy, things that are noble, then we are hindering the Holy Spirit. Amen. I continue reading again. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned in this series of the Holy Spirit or God breathed, amen, or in the Bible, whatever we have received or heard, amen, from the Lord, and see in me, though it was Paul who wrote this, but he was led by the Spirit of God. Amen. That's why I'm saying, whatever we have learned from the Holy Spirit, whatever we have received, whatever we have seen, we should put it into practice. And then the God of peace will be with us. We'll never be anxious of anything. We'll never be afraid of anything. If we think about things that honor and please God, as children of God. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you allow this word of God that we've shared to remain in the midst of your heart. God bless.